Welcome to episode 80 of the DeCesare Group podcast, where we talk about the latest economic development and business activities in South Central Kentucky. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and thanks for joining us. Hey, before we get started, I wanted to let you know you can access the DeCesare Group podcast on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and others. You can also subscribe to our newsletter, Soka Economic Development and Business News, on our website, thedecesaregroup.com. And be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. This week, I'm excited to talk with Joey Trauber from Trauber Mechanical in Franklin, Kentucky. Trauber Mechanical is a family-owned business founded in 1992 by Joey's parents, Jim and Cindy Trauber. Specializing in steel fabrication, industrial piping and ductwork, and industrial maintenance and support, Trauber Mechanical is involved in a lot of economic development activity over the last 33 years. So here's my conversation with Joey Trauber. Joey, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast. You're our 80th episode.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a milestone episode for sure, and we're glad to hear. So tell us a little bit about the history of Trauber Mechanical.
So Trauber Mechanical was started by my dad in 1992. Mm-hmm. And
in Franklin?
In Franklin, Kentucky. We are an industrial maintenance and steel fabrication shop. So we've been there since 1992. We do all kinds of industrial maintenance for factories around this area. Okay. Makes custom fabricated items, piping, ductwork, things like that. My dad started it, ran it with my mom, as most small family businesses are
sure.
around this area. And ran that together. I grew up in it. I was 8 years old when it started. So I've carried lots of hats around there from the beginning.
I bet you have. So when you talk about fabrication and industrial maintenance, what I kind of get the fabrication part. You can build custom whatever is needed for a building or a facility or whatever. But talk a little bit about the industrial maintenance side. I don't think people realize that. What's needed in that, and how big of a need there is in this area for that?
Yeah, so that can come from either projects or helping out the maintenance department. So we can supply labor mm-hmm. to help them with special tasks and projects. Sometimes the maintenance staffs get overrun, and they can't find enough people to hire. So we come in and do just general maintenance tasks, or we need needed an airline run or some ductwork run, and we'll come in and do those. Small projects, or if they need new air compressor systems,
yeah,
we'll move out the equipment, put in new equipment, yeah. And we call it industrial maintenance, but it's really projects, project support as well.
Yeah. So do you like help if they put in a new line of equipment and they've got a new press, for example, that they need installed? Do you go in and you know, cut out the concrete and do whatever needs to be done to get that piece of equipment installed and hooked up and ready to run?
Yeah, we'll typically take over once the concrete work's done. So okay. We can subcontract that out, but most of the time we might be working for a general contractor or general contractors on the project already, mm-hmm. and we come in behind them, set the equipment, run the piping, ductwork, conveyors, guarding, and put it all together for the customer there.
Awesome.
Get them up and running.
So. Well, so that I'm sure that's a big part of your business. I mean, because yeah. I know the need with my involvement with the Industrial Authority in Franklin and economic development as a whole. That's a big service that a lot of industries look for. And a lot of times, I mean, we have a shortage of people getting into that field of industrial maintenance. So how does that impact you all?
Yeah, there is a need and a shortage, but we're doing the small projects for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that has turned into overtime where sometimes we put people there on longer term contracts with the customer where they might need somebody ongoing because they're short staffed on the maintenance.
So you're supplementing for that industry
mm-hmm. for the maintenance labor.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Now talk about on the mechanical side or the fabrication side, I guess Trauber Mechanical. Do you do mechanical work too?
We do from an industrial perspective, so we'll run industrial piping and industrial ductwork. But when it transitions into commercial projects, like let's say a bank, for example, if somebody's building a bank, we don't do the mechanical projects on a bank that runs the heating and air conditioning and stuff that mechanical side entails along with plumbing work.
I got you.
Yeah.
So when we talk about fabrication, of course, I've been by your facility and I've seen some big pieces of metal hanging out in your lot. What's some of the cool things that you all fabricate?
So here in the last few years, we've gotten more a little heavier into construction fabricating. So for the general construction industry. So we've done banks around town. We've done factory expansions where we're building the I-beams and the 60-foot, 80-foot girders to support the...
So you're doing a steel package for, for buildings.
Yeah, so we're getting into... About 6-7 years ago, we started getting more into the structural steel fabrication and miscellaneous steel that the general contractors would price out, and we would do those projects for them, along with some handrails and stairs and railings. So we've gotten into stair packages in some projects out of Nashville where we were building stairs from the ground to 25 stories up.
Okay.
And stick building them all the way up. So those are pretty cool to do. A lot of people just walk those staircases and don't realize how much work goes into that, but those are... Each staircase was 6 or 8 months to get that erected in the field, and stuff like that.
So when you do fabrication like that, do y'all do the erection too?
Yes, we do. So we have a crew in the shop that does all the fabrication. Then we have separate crews that run around in trucks with, you know, the welders and toolboxes, and they go install them. And we have a crane that goes out and helps erect the steel out in the field.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah.
How many employees you have?
We have around 70 employees.
Okay, so everybody's staying busy.
Yeah, right now everybody's staying busy. It's a constant. We're feeding the beast, I call it. You know, we're working ourselves out of jobs constantly, so we're having to kind of always manage the jobs and manage the workload.
Yeah,
and keep enough coming in.
So you know, doing the fabrication, the mechanical, and the maintenance. Industrial maintenance. Tell us about the structure of Traber. I mean, you have your people that in the field, but you also have, I'm sure, people that get out and do business development, and you have your office people and things like that going on as well.
Yep. So it's we've got, out of the 70, about 15 of us that are, I could say, salary employees. There were managers, supervisors. We have 2 in-house accounting and HR people. And then there's about 4 project managers over the shop or the outside jobs. And then myself and our vice president there, we do the business development side and keep the work coming in. We do most of the quoting and the getting the job opportunities to keep everything staffed up. And then we have a full-time safety director to keep the outside work and inside work.
Keep you compliant.
Keep you compliant, but we want to keep everybody safe.
Obviously.
We're in a business where fingers and toes can disappear, and we want everybody to go home with those. So
sure,
we do put a big emphasis on safety and try to keep that going. And we have a maintenance staff that manages our trucks and all of our equipment and things of that nature. So it's it's gotten to be a pretty good size operation.
from when you started in 1992.
Yeah.
And I know y'all had a big celebration, I think, last year, and then in the last couple of years, you've also expanded with Industrial Power Solutions. You want to tell us a little bit about that operation?
Yeah. So I'll go back a little bit. I came back to the family business. I took a 3-year hiatus back in the early 2000s. I came back to the family business in 2014, and we entered a growth phase and went from 12 employees to the 70 we are today. So we've been constantly growing
since 20 in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So we have been constantly growing at about, you know, 3 to 5 employees a year for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so it's been a fun ride to get to grow and expand and find all the opportunities. And then had an opportunity in 2020 that a gentleman I went to high school with, Ryan Forshee, that he was looking for employment, and he came to work on with us there at Traber. He was an electrician by trade, and that's where he had worked before, but he fell right in and started running projects for us and doing all the things that a good project manager could do for us. And then after 2 years of him working for us, with his background in electrical knowledge, we started putting our heads together and say, well, what if we expanded into another avenue? Because I was on projects with him for years where he would be doing the electrical contracts and we'd be doing the steel contracts. And we were able to mesh that together. So in 2022, he and I opened Industrial Power Solutions as a different corporation, but I was 50% partner of that. And that'll be 3 years this July that's been open. And today he's at about 35 employees. and is an industrial electrical based company out of Franklin that does industrial electrical work and just general for general contractors mm-hmm. for any type of commercial project, the electrical scope of work there.
So in the last 10, 11, 12 years, you basically have created about 70 to 100 new jobs in Franklin and Simpson County.
Yeah, we've been blessed to do that, and
that's awesome.
It's been a fun ride. But
So everything's going well with Industrial Power Solutions. I know recently they moved into their own building, and they're growing, and things are going well.
Yeah, we had a space for him 3 years ago on our campus, we'll call it, and he worked there for about 2 years, and then we started to see that, hey, he's outgrowing his need, and we need more space too. So an opportunity approached with a building that I owned down the street that the tenant was moving out of that building at about that right time. And we were like, hey, what about this building? So end of last year, he moved down there, and it's been a good move for them. They've quickly filled up that new building,
mm-hmm.
and we've quickly filled up where they were, and he's operating and moving and shaking in that business, and is keeping about 35 busy, and he's, you know, doing really, really well.
Awesome.
With the industrial electrical business.
So we've talked about the services that you all provide, but talk about your service area. I know, and just, you know, for your reference, we have a lot of economic developers that listen to this podcast and business owners and industry leaders, but are you just here in South Central Kentucky? I know you mentioned you do some work in Nashville, but how far do you all go out?
On the steel side or Trauber side, we go to daily. We'll go to Nashville, Hopkinsville. We don't get as many opportunities up north, but we will go if mm-hmm. the project allows. Ryan at Industrial Power has been doing a project up in Marion, Kentucky.
Okay.
Marion County.
It's, yeah.
So that's about an hour and
a half.
Is
that Lebanon?
Lebanon. That's that's the town. And so we'll service daily about an hour, hour and a half from the Bowling Green area.
Okay.
And we will do some travel projects. I try not to do as many of those, but we'll take special projects that might be 2 or 3, 4 weeks on the Trauber side that we've done with, we'll go install some industrial equipment. I mean, we've gone to Iowa, we've gone to Atlanta, and some other states like that to get the work done. But daily, we're within this a drivable distance each day.
I keep it about an hour drive.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets sleep in their own bed at night.
That's right.
Which is important to a lot of, you know, employees.
It really is, because we've explored with the travel work, but I also feel like keeping our employees happy, and they'll go do the work, but when it gets past that 2, 3, 4 week mark, they're ready to come back home.
They're ready to come home.
Yeah.
Which, you know, leads me to my next question, because you have seen such phenomenal growth over the last few years. And just like with any industry, you know, retention of your employees is extremely important, because, you know, there's a huge cost in onboarding employees and then keeping them. And if you have a lot of turnover, that just costs you a lot of money. So talk about some of the ways you're investing in your employees to help them be better versions of themselves.
Yeah. So more recently, we've been doing some monthly leadership training sessions where we have a gentleman come in, and he meets with four different groups. I think he meets with the electrical side, he meets with our shop employees, our field employees, and then our managers and supervisors. And he goes over, just, we try to put back into the employees, give, you know, teach them tactics to how to handle the daily situations we go through, which I think has been very rewarding from the feedback I've gotten on that. From general retention, we just try to give everybody opportunities to move upward mm-hmm. and that want the opportunities within the company. So if you want the opportunities to move into the next position, we try to give them the tools to do so. Whether that's, if it's schooling based, we'll work and put them through school. If, you know, they want to go to welding school, we'll work to help pay for school, and then we'll also work with their schedules while they're in school to get them that type of training. And then more recently, we've tried to find kids coming out of high school or that are already in those programs that want jobs and employment, to try to find somebody that's putting in the time and effort to get better, because we're in a high-skill workforce where, I mean, anybody can come off the street, and we normally would have a job for them, but we are also looking for people that know how to weld,
yeah,
or that know how to run, you know, do piping, ductwork, things of that nature. And so it comes with an experience level. So you have to pay your employees well,
yeah,
and you have to offer them employment advances to grow within their jobs, and for them to feel motivated. And that's something we try to put some time and effort into to keep them moving in the right direction. And
so do you work with any of the, you know, local school systems, Sky CTC? I'm sure those are areas where you can go and find, because I know we have some good tech schools,
yes,
for lack of a better term, where they're offering some of these training. And how do you work with your local education partners?
So we've worked with a few over the years. The one we've been as closely tied with is Franklin Simpson High School's welding department.
Yeah.
The gentleman that runs that department, Jeremy Lovall, he actually worked for us at Traubert back when I was a kid, and he left in 2003 to go take that job.
Okay.
At the high school. So he's been a constant source of employees over the years, where if he's got a good student, he sends them to us. And
might not want to talk about this out loud because no, but that's great.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a trade secret. I want to see all that department grow, and then even more people,
yeah,
gain employment, whether it's with us or some other company. But he's been a great ally of ours over the years. And then we've last few years worked with Sky CTC with their welding department, tried to develop apprenticeship programs where we can put people through a program that's structured and regimented, so they know what they're moving towards. But then it's also to gain employment at the end. They're going to have a good paying job.
And one of the neat things about Franklin is that every high school student at Franklin Simpson High School can go to Sky CTC free of charge.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. Because of the awesome scholarship program that they've developed down there between the city, the county, the industrial authority, and private investors. So, you know, if a kid wants to get his gen ed and go on to Western after that, they can do that. Or if they want to go to welding school, they can do it. And it doesn't cost them anything.
Right. That's a great program there. And there's so many options. And we've dealt with the welding program and then also the SkyFame program, which is putting maintenance technicians into the work place here in this area. That is a really great program that is putting out a really high quality of labor for the industrial force around here.
And as you know, WKU now has an industrial maintenance program that they're starting to develop more people for those roles in your industry maintenance program. So
that's good. I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, there's some good resources that are out there that, you know, I think where I'm heading with this is that we all see that skill trades, we need more people to get into them, because the average age of a project manager in the construction industry is my age, you know, mid to late 50s. And, you know, their days are numbered. So we got to have people coming up through the pipeline, so to speak, to have them ready for those next leadership roles. Absolutely. And you're doing that internally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got one gentleman right now that just told me today that he's got 13 months until he turns 62. And he's looking at retiring.
He's looking at that Social Security check.
I'm happy for him and want that. But then I'm also in the back of my head thinking, all right, who's going to train up? Because a lot of people come out of high school and they want to get the high paying job, the high skilled job today. But it takes time. And they have to be willing to put in the time, because I'm a firm believer in the 10,000 hour rule. And that's 10,000 hours to become
a master
of your craft. And I've seen that work in the last 10 or 11 years a lot, that I've got people that work for us that are now, they're in that 10,000 hour rule, which is 4 to 5 years
mm-hmm.
of mastering that craft. And now they're in that 6th, 7th, 8th year. And it's like, you know, it really does take that amount of time, I think, to become good.
You're mastering a craft in your industry, that means being out when it's 20 degrees outside or 105 outside,
mm-hmm.
and getting dirty and, you know, crawling under buildings and doing all the different things that need to be done. But that's part of doing your paying your dues and understanding the craft and becoming a master at it.
Absolutely. It's part of it. And you got to be willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
Not just on the good days, but the bad too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So one of the things you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago was, you know, how to develop, I guess, employees or you know, partners that you work with, and making sure that they are taking care of themselves as well as, you know, producing for the company. Because that's important that you have, you know, people that are showing up for work that are healthy and ready to go and wide awake and, you know, are taking care of their own temple. So talk a little bit about some of your ideas with that. I know you haven't really fully implemented it yet, but there's some ideas. And I think it's important because, you know, a lot of companies have wellness programs, but I don't think enough companies think about it enough to understand what it does if you have this type of program in place.
Right. And we're still trying to develop that because I'm honestly taking what I'm trying to do just personally and how can we get that to all the employees to better their lives, because I'm in no way at where I want to be, but I'm just, it's going down a process and being dedicated, just like we want the young employee to be dedicated to honing his craft. But I also want all the employees to be dedicated to their own selves, because when they are 50, 60, 70 years old, still being mobile, moving around and healthy, not necessarily working for me or working for in this craft anymore, but retiring and playing with grandkids. And I think that's what life's about. And,
yeah.
You know, as I'm raising a couple of kids myself, I'm trying to put the time and effort in to be present with my kids and take care of my body and do things of that nature, and opening my eyes to the world that is maybe our environment around us is not as.
You're in the construction industry.
Yeah.
So,
you know. And it's not even the construction guys, but it's also the whole world environment makes it hard for us to be healthy humans late in life. And so it's all about trying to figure that out and make some processes in place to take that to all the employees.
Well, our first program of the year, we talked about health and wellness. And, you know, when you have people that are living a healthier lifestyle, you have lower absenteeism, more productivity. So there is a benefit to it. And encouraging that in the workplace is fantastic. And
it's also hard to find time for the employees too, because you're wanting your 8 to 9 hours a day from the employees, but then it's for everybody to be dedicated to spend more time, whether that's going to a gym or just exercising a little bit, eating healthy. It takes time and effort, and it's hard to do that.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you just have to plan for it. And even helping someone, you know, develop that plan might be exactly what gets them motivated enough to take that next step.
That's right.
So what's the future look like for Traver Mechanical?
The future, I hope, is keeping moving forward. I don't know that the growth phase, I'm not saying we're not actively pursuing growth, but I don't know that we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
So we take what opportunities in front of us and we try to grow from within for those opportunities, and we grow with our customers that we've had for 30, some with 30 years, some for 10 years, some for just 5 or 6 years, but we try to take those customers and grow from within and keep taking the opportunities. And if that means more people and more space, I think that's where we'll take it. But we're just trying to keep moving forward, but also creating a good, healthy workforce with a good culture and environment that people enjoy working at.
I think that you just hit on the key term there, and that's culture. And, you know, culture always wins in any organization. So developing a culture where people want to be there, that's extremely important. And I think, you know, by some of the things that you're doing, investing in your employees and trying to make them better versions of themselves, that creates a culture that people want to be a part of. And, an operation that's growing is, you know, quickly, you know, and I know it doesn't seem quickly, but to go from, you know, a half a dozen employees to 70 in 10 years, that's pretty significant growth.
It is. And we've went down both paths of that, of the culture side of, like, you'll look up and realize that the culture's not as great in this department. And we start trying to work on that and try to do some things to overcome and keep everything moving in the right direction. And that's what we look for most in people, is just, who can we get on our team to just make the right decisions, the right choices, and the culture seems to follow when that happens.
Sure. And that attracts good people too.
Yeah.
That may be outside the organization that want to get in, is knowing that, you know, this is a great place to work. And and it has a great culture. One of the things I want to talk with you about is because I see it often is you Traber Mechanical and IPS as well. You all give back to the community. I can't remember. I saw your logo on something the other day. Are you sponsoring a concert or something sometime soon? I don't know. I saw it, but I see your logo on different posters and things. I'm like, these guys are, you know, they're not only, you know, doing what they need to do to better themselves, but they're also giving back to the community. Talk about why that's important.
Yeah, we try to find local charities, lack of a better word, that we want to contribute our time to that we see making an impact. Whether that's the Barron River Child Advocacy Center puts mm-hmm. on an event in September where they rappel off the parking garage downtown. We've supported that over the last 3 or 4 years, and I think that's just a great place to put, you know, some money and resources to, as well as they have a backpack program in Simpson County where we donate and they, you know, give money to.
Is that through the school system?
It's through the school system. The
Friskies program?
Yeah, where they send food home with, you know, kids that need it. And we just try to find those maybe smaller charities, but ways that's what I like to do with it is ways that you see the impact.
Yeah.
You might still write a check to somebody like a St. Jude's or something like that, but I like to find the local charities that can find an impact. You know, Simpson County does their own light parade at Christmas now. And I think that's just a good thing, and we've sponsored that and just try to find local charities that we can make an impact on.
That's fantastic. Well, that again, that goes back to the culture, and that's, you know, not only investing in your employees, but investing in your community as well. And, you know, we can't thank you enough for all that Traber Mechanical does, not only from an economic development standpoint, but from a standpoint of being a good community partner, not only in Franklin, but in surrounding communities as well. You've all done a great job at doing that. And I always get kind of excited because, you know, we all work together. You work with the DeCesare Group. You're a client of the DeCesare Group. And I always get excited. I was somewhere the other day out of town. It wasn't too far, like an hour away, and I saw a Traber Mechanical truck. I'm like, hey,
I know those guys.
I know those guys. So, you know, it's always cool. And I'll say this, your trucks are always clean and look nice. And, you know, you have a good, you're leaving a good impression with the public as well.
Well, that's good. And we try to strive to do that. And I know one thing we did, this has been 7-8 years ago, but we went through like a logo rebranding before we got with DeCesare Group. But that was just one of the, I think a big impact that we has had on our business is it seems weird to say that your logo and your, but it kind of defines who you are as a company. And
it's your brand.
And you take some pride of it on it. And you put that on the truck and now people see that logo and they kind of know what it is without reading the names when they see it around. So I appreciate that. And it's good.
Anything I missed? Anything I didn't talk about?
I don't think so. I appreciate you having us on. No, I appreciate you having us on. It's good to, you know, we deal with you and Brooke on the DeCesare Group and the Industrial Authority has always been good to us down in Franklin. And we just enjoy it. I'm interested to see where this goes over the next, 5, 10, 15 years around.
Well, we're all going to be watching you.
Yeah, I know. That's right. So,
including your parents.
That's right. They will.
So anyhow, well, Joey, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Joey Traber with Traber Mechanical. He's a great guy and someone we really enjoy working with at the DeCesare Group. And thank you for listening to the DeCesare Group podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and others. And please leave us a review, a good one, that is. You can also find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And make sure you sign up for our newsletter on our website, thedecesaregroup.com. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer and Charlie Daniels of the Torque Wrench is Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly. Amy DeCesare is our researcher and writer. I'm Jim DeCesare, inviting you to join us again next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.